What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for your favorite Monday night show. And I'm not talking about Monday night football. No, 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 no. I'm talking about Real Talk Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are here. We finally have a Facebook page back. If you do care, don't care, please go over to Real Talk Monday on Facebook and like us over there. After the account got set down, we did have to restart things, but yo, restarting is what we do best over here. So we're going to restart and let God build the way that he wants to build. And now we have with me my sister, Miss Daisy. What up, sis?
What up? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. We have my other sister up in the building, Miss VJ. Y'all will get to meet her very soon, and I will tell you a little bit about her very soon. But y'all know how we start off Real Talk Monday. We started off with the theme song. As the theme song is playing, I want you to like, I want you to share, I want you to tag, tell somebody, tell everybody that Real Talk Monday is on. Let's go. What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Real Talk Monday. Go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are continuing to do for us in our life. Right now, Lord, we'd ask as you move Daisy, myself, and VJ out of the way. Let your name be glorified and let your name be honored. Let something we say or do be pleasing in our sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 All right, all right, all right. So, y'all, let me introduce my wonderful big sister over here. For those who may have been living under a rock for the last couple of years, like I have for some while, this is none other than the boss herself, the boss amongst bosses, the multimedia boss, the social media boss. I am so proud to call her my big sister. Miss VJ, she has so many businesses as she does that it's not even funny. She has her hands in so many things, and we are just blessed to have her on here. She is a podcaster, and I'm grateful to have her on here on tonight. So now, sis, I'm going to let you introduce yourself before we get started.
Oh my goodness, how can I even live up to that? Those are such wonderful, kind words that you just spoke. Thank you for the wonderful introduction. My name is VJ Thomas. And oh my goodness, like James said, I wear a couple of different hats. I am a podcaster. But in the professional realm, I am a claim supervisor. I oversee a claim of about five or six. And I'm also I call myself a side hustle strategist slash mentor. So if you're in that space of, having a full-time job and doing a side hustle, I love to help people out in that space. But even more important of that, I'm a wife, a mom, a child of God, and those are the most important things. Everything mm-hmm. else could definitely come second to that. So, and that's why I'm so excited to be here today with you guys. So thank you for having me.
Amen. We're grateful to have you. And sis, I'm going to let you, Daisy, I'm going to let you announce what our topic is tonight, and then we'll get started.
So our topic is equally yoked. Is that just pertaining to marriage or outside of marriage? I added that in for clarity.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
You want to do the first question or you want me to just go off?
I can do the first one.
Okay.
All right. So what do you think equally yoked means? What do you think equally yoked means? I mean, I know we hear it all the time, especially when we're talking about marriage and when we're talking about you want to make sure that you're equally yoked to your partner. But what does that mean, like, in general? We'll go around the table. We'll start it off with our guest, and then I'll go to my sister, Daisy, and then I'll tell y'all what I think it means. And in our comments, y'all, come on, chime in with us as well.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, go on ahead, BJ.
So I think what does equally yoked mean? I think in the traditional sense, in the biblical sense, right? Because that's where it all starts. We look at equally yoked. The short answer is it's about balance, right? Because we have to think about, you know, when the scripture was written, what was the intent behind it, right? That's where I like to go anytime I'm presented with any scripture, because I, you know, I think sometimes we tend to kind of want to mold it to what we think it should be, but we really need to go back to what the intent was. So when you presented this to me, I already knew, but I wanted to go back to make sure I wasn't missing anything, right? And I learned that it boils down to balance, right? So when, you know, oxen were yoked together to pull, you know, whatever it is that they're pulling, if they weren't equally yoked, it's about balance. So one of them's going to be pulling on the other, or the stride is not going to be match the other side if they're not equally yoked. And that could mean two different types of, you know, animals, or it could mean the same type, but one of them's taller than the other or shorter. So when we think about what does equally yoked mean, the intent behind the scripture was for it to be, for us to be equally yoked with believers, right? So really, we shouldn't be yoking ourselves with non-believers. I think for me, what equally yoked means is, again, about balance. And it's about, okay, what, aside from being a believer, what is it that I'm going to need and that person is likely going to need for me that I can provide that allow us to get the job done, fulfill our purpose, rather. So for me, that meant, okay, if I want to be married, I'd need someone who, in addition to being a believer, who wants to be a husband. And I know that sounds very simple and very, you know, that should be an obvious, but a lot of times when you're dating, people can be just dating for fun. They can be just dating for, you know, a number of different reasons. So I had to say, you know, in order for me to be equally yoked with someone, I want to be a wife. So I need to date someone who wants to be a husband. And it's things of that nature that meant being equally yoked for me.
I like that. I like that. So, Daisy?
That was good. That was really good. That was a good breakdown. I like that. So I must piggyback a bit off of our guest. And the first thing I was going to say actually is balance. And so, you know, James, that I do like to refer a lot of things, especially if it's biblical, back to the Bible. He knows
Amen.
That. I'm always throwing Amen. Out
scripture.
I love it.
I'm always throwing out scripture. I know our guests, but like, here she go. But,
we love it. We love it.
It didn't come from the world. It came from the Bible. Mm-hmm. So we need to go back and see what God was trying to say to us about. Mm-hmm. And I feel like before I go into the scripture, I feel like that's where we get in trouble as believers, is we gather and muster up our own definition of things instead of going back to the word. And so we deceive ourselves a lot of times, and then we become deceived by pastors and preachers. And we put so much wait on depending on pastors and preachers when the word is given to us for free. Like the Bible, if you can't afford to buy a Bible, it's on the app and we're always on the phone. So there's no reason to not know these things when, you know, you're being asked by a non-believer. What does equally yoked mean? We're not going to say it's something of the world. We got to go back to scripture. This is how we open up non-believers' eyes to our world and what the Lord said that words are. So I like to relate scripture. And it's funny you said that because I pulled up and I saved it, Deuteronomy 22:9. And I'll be reading that from the, I'll do the English Standard Version. Normally I do King James, but for new believers in Christ, I like to be clear on scripture because a lot of people don't really understand the King James. So that one reads, "You must not plant any other crops between the rows of your vineyard. If you do, you are forbidden." No, that's not. I'm sorry. That's not the English. That's the NIV. Sorry. All right. So I'm gonna start over. That's the English Standard Version is, "You shall not sow your vineyards to two kinds of seed." I want to stop right there. You shall not sow your vineyards to two kinds of seed. So it goes back to what our guest said, our beautiful guest said. It's balance in what you plant in the ground, initially the root. And so if you have two, for example, a farmer got to study and know what two seeds to plant in the ground in order to produce good fruit, in order to grow the crops, in order to grow the vegetables and the plants and the carrots and all of that. If he doesn't do the good research and make them compatible in order to put two seeds together to grow in a farm, we wouldn't have a lot of vegetables and things like that we have, right? And so I just wanted to highlight that as part of my definitions of what equally yoked meaning. And then the rest of the scripture says, "Lest the whole yield be forfeited." So if it's not on equally yoked, and if it's two of the same kind of seed, then it won't be forfeited. If it's two of the different kind, then it won't produce fruit, is what I gather from that, what it's basically saying. Then it says, "The crops that you have sown and the yield of the vineyard." That was the biblical scripture based on, you know, crops and so forth. But my last scripture I want to point out, and then this is my final definition of what equally yoked is, and then I'll sum it up. So I also pulled up Corinthians 6:14, and I'll be reading that from the NIV. Now this relates back to fellowshipping with believers. So that says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." And that's what our beautiful guest was saying, right? What's your name again?
BJ.
Okay. I know it was B. I didn't want to say it wrong.
B is fine.
So that's what BJ was saying. It says, you know, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" And I know when James and I thought about this topic, and we posed the question, is it just with marriage or outside of marriage? You can take that scripture right there and you can place it, because it says not to be gathered together with unbelievers. So in whatever arena you go into, whether you're going into work or whether you're in the church or whether you're going to a gathering or to a conference, you are to take that scripture and apply it. If that makes sense, if you're a believer and you're walking with Christ. So that, to sum up my reason, my definition of what equally yoked means is basically knowing the root of why that word was created, taking it and applying it in a godly perspective in every walk in your life, though you're in the world and you may connect with a business venture of someone that may not be a believer. I feel like you still need to apply that, even though it's not an intimate relationship. Because light and dark, if they're not on the same journey on path as far as their their plans and their resources, because some people out here selling their souls. Like, let's be real. Mm-hmm. If they're not, they're, even some believers now, we see what's going on in the world today. But if they're not non-believers, they're willing to do every and anything. And are you willing to put your name and, well, Christ's name on the line, being connected to the wrong source or the wrong person? So I just feel that what my reasoning for definition for that is, just taking that scripture and the word and applying it with every relationship is what it means to me.
Oh, man, that is perfect. That is perfect. For me, the biblical definition of equally yoked, which we've already given, is we sometimes take our definition of biblically and we just place it with marriage. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, with others. Now, that's good. That is good. But we can, as both of our guests have said, we can place that in every aspect of life. And for me, what being unequally yoked is I'm going to use an example. Daisy knows, without a shadow of a doubt, here lately I've been on a big health kick, like trying to get healthy, trying to stay healthy. I mean, I'm not getting no younger, so I'm trying to stay healthy the best I can. Now, if I'm trying to stay healthy and I'm staying in the gym and I'm working out, if the woman that I'm with or somebody that I surround myself with, like even as a friend, if they are not helping me in that aspect, if they know that I'm trying to stay healthy and yet and still they're sowing cookies in front of my face every time I turn around, that ain't equally yoked, because they're not really helping push you into your right destination. You know, I heard a preacher preaching on this once before, where he was talking about how you have your friends that are around you, and they ought to form a circle. Now, if they're forming that circle, then when you say go left, your circle ought to go left with you. When you're saying God is telling me to go right, that circle ought to go right with you. If you're telling your circle God is telling me to go back, they ought to go back with you. If you're telling them God is telling me to go forward, they ought to go forward with you. But what happens when that circle becomes a square and they box you in? When you tell them, yo, God is telling me to do this, they telling you, no, God didn't say do that. God didn't say do that at all. So at some point, what we got to realize is you may have been equally yoked with somebody at one point, but as time goes on and God keeps pushing you into another level and calls you to another level, sometimes those other levels cause disconnections, cause you to disconnect from certain people because they're not ready to go with you to that next level. So that's what equally yoked is talking about to me. I want to look at some of these questions that we've had posted. Okay. Do you think that age difference are considered unequally yoked?
No.
No, because you can be, I'll let our guests go first, yeah. And I'll let Daisy, and then I'll go.
So I find it interesting that both of you said no. And I'm thinking about it because I do want to follow what everyone else says. So I'm like, oh, crap. What am I going to say? What am I going to say?
That's why we like podcasts like this, because there are different opinions. I love it.
Yeah, but so I tend to think that it can be. Not necessarily, it's not one of those absolute things, but it can cause you to be unequally yoked with someone. And, you know, I'm a person, I love law. I probably should have went to law school. I went to paralegal school, but I didn't finish on to go to law school. So the first thing I think about is, you know, what if there's a situation where somebody's not legally old enough? in my mind, that makes them unequally yoked automatically. It's like that's an automatic. Now, you know, there, I'm sure, you know, in the situations that you guys are thinking about, we're talking about people who are of age. Okay. So, and I know you clearly both meant that. So it, you know, you can still have a big age gap and still be equally yoked, but it's not an automatic thing. Think about, I don't know how much you guys follow like pop culture, but there's a TV star, Drea. She's 39 years old and she's currently allegedly expecting by her 22-year-old boyfriend. And she's got a son that's also 21 or 22 years old. Yeah. Do I think that's equally yoked? I don't know the ins and outs of that relationship, but I kind of lean more towards that's probably not, because I'm 40 and I have a son that's 20. I cannot imagine. So, yeah, I'm not going to say that's an automatic thing for me. You know, you can, an age difference can mean you would be unequally yoked. Yes.
Okay. Daisy.
Hold on. Go ahead, James. I'm looking up something. You know, I always got to look up something.
I got you. For me, age is definitely, it can be a deal breaker. But for me, it's not the biggest deal breaker. Because now, when I say it's not a problem, I'm talking of as age, as our sister said. I'm talking about like, both people are over the age of 18, consenting adults, all of that. Now, just because the law says that you are of age does not mean that you are mentally of age to handle a relationship with that type of person. Like, let's be honest, I know some 18-year-olds that's more mature than some 40-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And I know some 18-year-olds that are less mature than some 10-year-olds. It depends on your age and depends on your maturity level. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I will honestly say this. I actually prefer older because of the simple fact of the maturity level. Because of the fact of we can have deep conversations about things. We can have deeper conversation about things that younger really wouldn't understand. Now, when I say older, I mean about not much, like a little bit older than me. But for me, that's my preference because of the fact of with what I do on a continual basis, it's gonna take somebody with a very high maturity level to understand what I do. You know, I've had sisters to tell me, you know, you deal with a lot of podcasts, and when you're doing podcasts, you're dealing with beautiful women all of the time. It is going to take a mature woman to understand that, yo, this is business, that he doesn't want them on that level. So that's why I'm saying, for me, age isn't a big difference. As long as we're both consenting adults and our maturity level is there, I'm cool with it. Now, I'm not out here R. Kellying it. I'm not doing that at all. I am not doing that at all. No.
Oh, goodness.
Well, let me ask you this. Well, and I'm only going to say this since Daisy's still looking up something. So let's say you have someone who is already elderly in the sense where they have some physical limitations, like they need possibly routine care, and their person is significantly younger. And this significantly younger person is, in essence, putting their life on hold to care for this older person who they're not at the same stage in life. And I'm not saying that I believe one way or the other. I'm just thinking through that, would I think that that couple is equally yoked?
Once again, it goes back to maturity level. It goes back to why are they together? Because let's be real, in the vows that you take, it also says in sickness and in health. So just because we get married, does not mean that.
Well, and I'm talking about from a dating sense, of course.
Oh, okay,
my husband is older and he's sick. I'm not going to be like, no,
we're
not equally yoked no more. Bye bye.
I'm not going to do that. Now,
and I would hope he wouldn't do it.
Yeah. It just depends on like the maturity level and how they trying to date. Are they trying to date with a purpose, or are they just dating just to be dating? Mm-hmm. If you're dating just to be dating, then no, you ain't equally yoked, because let's be real, some of the stuff that you want to do, that person ain't going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're dating with a purpose and everything else kind of aligns, I don't see the problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Daisy?
It's funny that you said purpose, because if we're talking about biblical perspective here, God doesn't care about that, right? If he has a purpose for two people, he's going to join together. And the reason why I wanted to pause and look up something, because I wanted to get the exact, I knew I remember, but I wanted to be sure. And so let's highlight Mary and Joseph, y'all. So y'all do know Mary and Joseph was a big age gap, right? Does everyone know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Mary was anywhere from the age of 12 to 14, right?
I knew she was a teen. I didn't realize it was 12 to 14.
I say between 12 to 14 because a lot of the Bible scholars that I just looked up that I follow, it's a debate on it. So we're going to say anywhere from 14 to 16, give and say, because some people were saying 16 too. So let's just say that anywhere from. And now Joseph, do y'all know how old Joseph was? Let me see if y'all can take a wild guess.
I think he was probably in his 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in his late 30s, because you've seen how old he got really fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to highlight that, because when James mentioned purpose, God had a purpose for them to be together, though she was still in her early teens, and that was a grown man. Mm-hmm. And I know in our mind right now, it's like, I'm still be like, yeah, God, I know what you did, and that was for your purpose. But here in Andrea, and the, what's that basketball? What's his name?
I forget his name. It escapes me.
I forgot his name, yeah.
When I saw,
I'll look it up and I'll tell y'all.
I am disgusted, okay? We know God didn't do that for them to have nobody like Jesus or nothing. We know that's something that Dre, if you know Dre, you know that's something that she went on just ooh. So, but I just wanted to highlight that.
Jalen Green.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just turned 20.
Yep, just turned 20.
Yeah. Listen, but we know that she is not walking with Christ. So Christ didn't tell her to go get that little boy pregnant. Okay. Christ didn't tell her to join with that young man to impregnate her for a purpose. And so I feel like if it's not aligned with God's purpose, then that is just nasty. Okay. And so that is borderline rocking the cradle. And, you know, if they weren't both in celebrity world, that would be looking for a lawsuit, because he's not 21 yet. Oh, no, it's 18, right?
It's 18. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the point that you're trying to make also is that even if the shoe was on the other foot and it was a man that was Drea's age and a girl, you know, that was, you know, Jalen's age, then the public would be, oh, this is wrong. But, you know, sometimes seems to be more acceptable when it's a woman who's, you know, the older. So, yeah, that's very interesting situation, because, like I said, I can't imagine being in that predicament, because I have a son also the same age. I couldn't imagine myself yeah, yeah. in that situation.
We got one more question that was asked of us. As followers of Christ, what if we date an unbeliever that believes in nothing, knowing we are supposed to save souls? Is that unequally yoked? Most definitely. Now, you can try to win them over. You can try to win them over.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't just be out here dating, because it says, how can two become one unless they agree? So, no.
Yeah. I think you put it perfectly, because one key word that I wrote down that I was also going to say, you said it, James, is, you know, your circle, your inner circle, so to speak. And I think about when Jesus, you know, went to eat and, you know, spending time with sinners. You know, I think as believers, the message for us is that, yeah, we're supposed to, you know, we're going to encounter non-believers. We're going to probably even be friends with non-believers in the workplace and in the world. And, you know, and it's supposed to be like that, because those people need to see us and see our light, and that can potentially bring them to Christ. However, in your inner circle, it goes back to exactly what James said, that, you know, you cannot grow in Christ and to become one if one is a non-believer. So to answer Don's question, my opinion is that, you know, if it was somebody that you knew in your workplace, or, you know, somebody that was kind of a social friend, yeah, you can be friends with them, in my opinion. But as far as dating, any type of serious relationships, I would strongly caution against that.
I want to add on to what Vijay is saying. With the friend with non-believer, I want to elaborate on that, if I may. And so, like Jesus, he's a friend to everyone, right? And so his goal and his purpose, his sole purpose, was to go and sit with them, to prick their hearts, to tell them about the good news and what God expects of them. And so when we hear a lot of it's okay to be friends with non-believers, I want to say, you want to be careful. We're not saying you, Vijay, but to our listeners, you want to be real careful, because Jesus went to pull the sinners onto the other side, into the light, into the kingdom. A lot of times when people say they're going into the world, into a club or wherever the case is, they're being friends with non-believers, they end up getting lost, because their purpose of going in there, you're to be a light in there, not to do what they're doing. So if you're not at a capacity in your walk with Christ where God is going to send you into a place to minister to some people and stand your ground on an authority on the word of God and be that light and be different, then maybe you're not, because everyone's not mature to do that. Because some people will go and hang out with those unbelievers and start doing things that God have delivered them from. And I've heard various different stories of that happening. And in my premature time, that has also happened to me. And so, you know, you have to build that muscle and that walk with Christ before you can go and do something as bold as hanging out with those unbelievers. You start smoking and doing all types of things as they are. How are you being a light? How are you showing them that this walk with Christ is pure? How are you showing them that, you know, being with Christ doesn't mean you have to compromise when you're around something that doesn't look, that Christ doesn't like. And so I just wanted to highlight that it's okay to be associated with non-believers, as long as you are walking to the law, the commandments, the status, and the will and the way of God, and that you're representing the kingdom of God. So I just wanted to point that out.
Most definitely. All right, let's go to these other questions that we have, y'all, because this is getting good. We ain't even got to question number two, because they were asking us questions in the comments. I love that. That's what I love. So question number two, why is it important to be just as yoked together in friends as it is in a relationship? Whoever wants to kick it off.
She's on mute, I think.
Vijay, you on me?
Yeah. So for me, I think we kind of touched on that one already. The importance of, you know, being equally yoked as friends, even in before, you know, it's a marriage or, you know, a very serious relationship, for the reasons you just mentioned just now, and for the reasons that we mentioned a few minutes ago. It's easy to be drawn in to something if you're not prepared, if you are not strong in your walk. But it's also, if you're dating with the purpose of being married, you should just start there, right? Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to date and say, well, I don't have these standards while I'm dating, but when I get married, this will be the standard. Who does that? So, yeah, for me, I would say that it is definitely important to start to have those. I don't like the word requirements. It's good to start to vet. That's what dating is supposed to be anyway. You know, your vetting process, start to vet to make sure that person you're seeing is equally yoked before you even get to that point of marriage. Not to reference pop culture again, but there's just a show, Love is Blind. Same thing. Mm-hmm. They got all the way to the altar. All the way to the altar.
No.
And this brother said no. And it was, you know, my heart broke for her. And I'm glad, you know, on one hand, I'm glad that, you know, he did not marry her if he was not ready. But on the other hand, I'm still a woman. Why did you let it get to that point if you knew you wasn't ready? So, you know, that just goes to show they weren't equally yoked. I don't think they were.
Here's another thing, though. The man told her in the beginning that he wasn't ready. He told her.
Why was he on that show?
He told her he didn't think. Good point. And she thought she could change him.
But yeah, she said that. I don't really watch, you know, the shows and stuff like that, but I was on TikTok the other day. It's funny y'all mentioned it. And a snippet from them being on the altar popped up on my timeline, on my For You. But you know, whatever is trending will pop up on your For You page. So I was like, what is this? And so I was just like, he did that to her at the altar. So watching the little snippet of their show, their journey on the show, he, like James said, he said it clear as day that he's unsure. And he was all about me, 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 me. He wanted to be fixed. He was coming on a show to look for someone to fix him, to pour into him. And she was crying to her family. And she said, what is it that is up with me? Is it a problem? Because I think this has happened to her a few times, that where she said, is it me? I always come close. And then, you know, it backfires on me, or it doesn't go all the way through. What am I doing wrong? So now she's questioning herself. But the from the snippet that I've seen of their shows, the different series, that man gave multiple signs. She chose to ignore him. And I'm not saying he's right. I'm not saying she's right. This can go for me as well in the past. A lot of different women. She ignored him because she was so thirsty and hungry for marriage. Need to kind of separate, though it shows that they're still kind of in a relationship, but I think they both need time to heal and to figure out, because both of them are not even yoked in they have no yoke in them right now.
I love it. She said they have no yoke in them.
They don't.
I love how she put it. Oh my goodness.
But it's just
you're right. You're right. You know, I follow you on that.
The yoke is not yoking at all. Okay. And so I feel for her, but some of the things that she was saying, and I was actually talking with my little sister about it yesterday, and I said, it just seems as though she would have been the same way with another man, because she wants marriage so much. And it can go the same for friendship. You can be in a space where you're so isolated and lonely that you desire company, and you fall for the wrong company because you don't want to be alone. And so I just, that show just really blew my mind, because he is really even when he was talking to his mom, I think they showed a snippet. His mom encouraged him. She was like, don't let anyone force you to saying I do. Right then and there, he told her that he's not going to do it. He told his dad too. And why not tell her before she walked down the aisle? Like, what's wrong with you?
And that was my, and you saw more than I did, obviously. But, you know, that's all I'm saying is, you know, why did you have to let this woman get dressed? That's very traumatic. I would think that that's very traumatic. You let her, allowed her to get dressed, get her hair done. And, you know, there was not any other moment before that where you could have stopped this and said, hey, let me pull you to the side. We need to talk. It still would have hurt. It still would have been painful. But, you know, maybe it could have saved her from being on national television.
Yeah, right, and got embarrassed. He was just, the little part I watched, y'all, I instantly got, but that just comes with being yoked with God, because you have discernment. And she was blinded, like the veil did not lift off of her eyes, because the little small clip I seen of him, I said, he's full of pride. And I said, that man, her for what's in between her legs, because when she saw him, she said to him, wow, you look handsome. And he said to her on the altar to a bride, he said to her, look at you, you got that itch on. He said the actual word that she got that itch on. And he said, look at that body. And I'm like, tell that woman she is beautiful on her wedding day.
Oh, cringe.
Yes. And it's just like, he's just still want to live a single life. He does.
Yeah. Oh. But yeah, no, I have to agree that that was not a good situation. And, you know, yeah, they're definitely not equally yoked. Because, and it goes back to what I said in the beginning, she wants marriage, he doesn't. You know, for me, that was a really big thing. You know, when I started, I had a really bad breakup, but when I started dating again, that was the thing. That was like one of my requirements. I know I want to be married, so I'm going to only date men who also want to be a husband, who want a wife, not, oh, let's just have fun. You know, you have to be able to articulate, this is something that I want. So, yeah.
I have a question, Jay, since you said, you know, you want to date, which is my goal too, to date someone that their purpose, ending purpose, is marriage. And so do you feel that though we're dating someone that wants marriage as well, that makes us equally yoked?
It's one of the things that make you equally yoked. I don't think that there's just one piece. So I think in the biblical sense, the biblical sense, if we're looking at it like as a pyramid, we need to both be believers. Okay. Now, for me, I'm not saying that this needs to be the thing for anybody else, but you know, I'm not going to go down to, okay, we got to be at the same denomination. Nope. Look, we believe in God. We believe in Jesus Christ. That's important to me. Yeah. And then, like I said, the next thing was also, you know, we talked about purpose, and that's the whole intent behind the equally yoke. You have to think about what you feel that God's purpose for your life and your relationship is, because this is my theory on it, and I'm not going to talk too long about this, but I feel that the intent for marriages was originally, you know, so we can, and this is just my little theology. I went to Dallas Baptist University. I didn't major in theology, but this is, you know, my little bit. But the intent was for us to marry so we can populate, you know, the earth. We can, you know, be together with we can get together, we can populate the earth, have children, have believers, this and that. Well, in my case, I had already had children. You know, I love my babies. I have a set of twins. I didn't have, like, you know, a bunch of multiple kids, but I already fumbled the bag on that one, right? So I had to think about, okay, well, I'm here now. What do I feel like God's purpose for my life now is? Because clearly that original biblical intent, that ain't what it is. And I don't think I want to have no more kids. So for me, I felt like I wanted to finish raising my kids who were then young adults. I wanted to raise them with a nice family foundation. I wanted to raise them with good values. I wanted our families and our culture to see a good example of Black marriage. That was important for me. So that's why when I keep going back to somebody who wants to be a husband, somebody who wants to do those things, that's why I go back to that, because that's what I feel like God's purpose for my life is. So to answer your question, Daisy, I think you, each person, if you're a little bit outside of that original biblical intent for marriage, I think you have to look at what God has put on your heart to be the purpose for your life, and the person that you're seeking and that's seeking you, you guys have to be equally yoked for that. Now, there's other things, and I didn't want to say anything when James mentioned it because it is a good example, but he's mentioned, well, like say if I'm working out and the woman that I'm dating is not working out, I don't consider that equally yoked. And that's fair.
I don't either.
And y'all would probably, so neither one of you would want to date me, because guess what?
I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. In my mind, I'm like, well, I wouldn't now, have had a chance.
No, wait. Let me explain what I mean by that. I'm not saying that she's got to be in the gym with me working out. But what I'm saying is, like, if I'm in the gym working out and she knows that I'm trying to live as healthy a lifestyle, that I'm trying to be healthy, all of that, what I'm not expecting is every 5 minutes, she up here serving McDonald's in my face, Pizza Hut in my plate, something like that. Like, she supports me in other ways, because there's other ways to support.
And I get it. I absolutely get it. And I'm partly giving you a hard time, James. I really am.
Oh, I'm used to it.
I'm partly giving you a hard time. But, you know, I do, for me, I'm not going to say, oh, this brother's not equally yoked with me because we have different fitness goals. And it could be, but for me, it's not. Like I say, for me, it's that overarching purpose, what I feel that God's purpose for our life is, because I think sometimes we can miss out on things. We can miss out on relationships and friendships because we're Xing people out for things that really don't have that value. Well, that I wouldn't put that value on. And I'm going to say this lastly. And sometimes I feel like, I think Daisy touched on it, that you are supposed to, in some cases, be the light for other people. So you're saying you don't want somebody putting that hamburger in your face all the time, but maybe God put you in this lady's life to help her reach those goals. It might not even be about you. So, I'm gonna get off my soapbox because James looking like, no, she didn't.
No, I'm laughing. I'm laughing at this one.
You hit that, VJ, because I actually was going to say, I had a past relationship where, though it was for a season, that God may use you because I'm strong in the fitness area. I have discipline with my eating. I have discipline with working out. And so I know that if everything is lining up, equally yoked, he's on fire. That man is on fire for God. And he may not be the healthiest. I know that my strength is supposed to influence him. So I know that because just of my connection that I have with God, I know if he lines me up with a man that ain't coming with a package already with what I would like, I know that then, okay, that is my purpose to influence him with the eating. Because maybe he's unhealthy. Yes, he may be out of shape or whatever, but internally, maybe he's unhealthy where he's going to be, you know, end up in some types of sickness if he does not get his health and eating in check. And that, though, that's my strength. God is going to use that.
Yes. And isn't that the definition of balance? Isn't that in its essence what balance really is? Where you're strong, I'm weak. Where I'm weak, you're strong. That's how I look at it. Because, you know, there are some areas I think about in my own life where I'm weak. And if I were to be X'd out because of that, then there wouldn't be any hope for me, and vice versa. So again, I'm not trying to say you need to take people, you know, who has all these flaws and issues. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying, you know, being equally yoked is more about purpose, the balance yeah. for that purpose.
Yeah. And then God may not be able to put something that lines up again with what we were saying before, where your strength is at. James may not be able to be with you, and God knows that. So God is not going to put him with someone that's going to constantly be teasing him with the unhealthy food and so forth. Because James will give in. As for me, God knows that I'm strong and rooted in my health and what I eat. So he may be like, she's up for the challenge. So yeah. she do that.
No. James, I do that. Also see someone in a comment, and I want to touch on that real quick, that a lot of men not bending on that fitness. Yes. Sister Andrea. Oh, my goodness. I do have to agree with you on that, too. And I do feel as women, you know, there are certain things that, you know, we know men are visual, and certain things in my opinion, we should prioritize, especially if it's something that your guy likes. So yeah, I do understand the importance of the fitness factor, but like I said, them hamburgers are good, James. I'm sorry.
No, man, I'm not saying that they're not. Let me tell y'all, in all honesty, Daisy will tell you, and Andrea will tell you, I just now got on this fitness kick of trying to get healthy. And one of the main people, there are two people that really pushed me. And one of them is Miss Daisy Mitchell. That girl right there does not let up off of me. When I tell you, she is sending me workouts that I need to do. And she's not letting me off at all. Like, she's second on me, second in with me, and I appreciate it because I need, and then I have an accountability person like Andrea that where when she's at the gym, she's shooting me snaps. Yo, let's go. Let's get it. So it's like I have those people that are in my corner that are making sure that I'm doing those things that I need to do. Now, if my woman is not at that level, on that fitness level. I'm not saying that if she's not on that level, on that fitness level, I'm automatically Xing her out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out how I can help her get to where she needs to be, because we are a team. Like I said, I ain't always been there my own self. I had to have a Daisy Mitchell up in my life to help me get to that level that I need to be. So if somebody had to help me, who am I to say, you know what, just because you ain't at that level now, then I'm automatically pushing you out. Andrea, you leave me alone. You go on somewhere, Andrea. Go. Get.
I just think she's saying own it. If that's your deal breaker, James, no. Let it be your deal breaker.
And I'm not saying that is a deal breaker. I'm not saying that at all. Like, it is... It's not a deal breaker. I am saying, like, what I'm saying is I know me. And right now where I am at, I would need a woman that understands, like, okay, my man is trying to be healthy. I need a woman that understands, yo, okay, my man is trying to be healthy. So even though I love the hamburgers, even though I love these things, maybe I don't know, maybe I don't need to eat it around him right now, because he'll be tempted to fall off of the wagon on his end. I'm not saying she's got to be at the level that I'm on. I'm just saying that, like, see, there's different ways to support.
So for me, real quick, and then we can go to the next question if we have time. So for me, real quick, when it comes to the whole fitness thing, when I was younger and more immature, it was about body. And so working in the world and seeing young people facing serious health diseases and sicknesses, for me, it's making sure that my partner, we're going to have a long and healthy life together, as so God bless us to. So for me, it's more about being healthy. So I'm not going to watch my spouse, you know, I can't force them or make them. And I believe that's why God will probably connect me with someone that may not be eating the healthiest. It's not even about them being fine, but they need to be healthy. And I know that God is calling us to change our palate in this season, because a lot of processed food is causing a lot of diseases, cancers, and things like that. So I'm not going to sit up there and be all healthy and watch my spouse kill himself by eating these junk food all the time. That wouldn't be love for me. That's not my love language. You know what I'm saying? So my job would be to say, babe, it's not about you being fine. I love you how you are, but what's inside of your system? What is eating up your liver, your kidney? Your years are going to be shortened, and we got to have this long life together with our children. So for me, it's more about being healthy internally than, you know, him being fine and all this other stuff.
I agree.
He can be fine too.
Let me correct that, God, because you know that, Lord.
He's like, wait a minute, Daisy. Can't he be fine too? I'm just kidding.
Listen, I'm just be trying to be really humble with God, but he knows.
Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah. Look, he know the heart.
Okay.
Dad's all right. Like, okay.
You want to do the next question? We only did two.
James, yeah, we can do one more. All right. I'll let you ask the next one.
Number three. Go ahead. You could do your number three.
Hold on. Number three. What was that? Hold on. Let me go to it. Number three. Why isn't equally yoked talked about as much? Why isn't equally yoked talked about as much?
We'll let our guests go first.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so I think it is actually talked about frequently. I just think it's talked about in the wrong context. I think people tend to pair up being equally yoked with social status, financial status, and things of that nature. That's what I hear, or I used to hear. And for me, it was pretty discouraging, because I never felt like that was the intent. Now, I can understand you wanting to date and marry somebody of a similar social status or economic financial status. I get that. But for me, again, it always boils down to like character. It boils down to some other things that aren't as tangible as tangible or physical. So my answer is, I think it's talked about. I just think it's talked about in a different way that's not the original intent. And nobody's really talking about it, which is probably why you guys posed this question. Nobody's talking about it like it needs to be talked about, in the sense of purpose, in the sense of balance. And that's why we're here today, is to have that conversation. Now, why do we connect it with social status and financial status? I don't know. That's something I wreck my brain over a lot, because I feel like it's actually dividing our culture in terms of relationships and marriages, because the men over here saying this and the women over here saying that. You've got red pill, blue pill, whatever they're calling it. And we just need to find our way back together and you know, be equally yoked. But those shouldn't be the driving forces behind being equally yoked, is whether somebody is in that same social status or financial status as you. So, yeah, that's my two cents on that question.
For time's sake, I don't have to add to that. I agree with you 100%, BJ. I agree.
I do too. Like, you hit the nail right on the head. That's why we're having this discussion tonight. And by there will be a part two to this discussion.
Wait, because James, let's do number four. One of my questions, because I like that question, and I would like to hear her view.
Oh, definitely. We about to do number four. Go on ahead.
You want to add something to that?
Go on. See, hit the nail on the head with that one.
Okay. All right. So number four is, have you ever been involved in an intimate relationship that you knew the two of you weren't equally yoked, but chose to ignore it?
See y'all. I'm out of here. I'm out of here for tonight. I'll talk to y'all later. I love y'all.
Girl, you should have asked this one first.
That's what I was like. We got a question.
Which answer do you want? Yes, I have. And, you know, for the sake of argument, we just described what equally yoked is. But for the sake of this question, what equally yoked do you want? The not equally yoked, the not equally yoked financially, the not equally yoked in terms of like which one? Because I got examples for all of them.
We gonna do relationship.
Okay, because all jokes aside, I will say that I have been, but again, it goes back to what I said at the very beginning of this call. For me, I feel like I would have saved myself so much time in dating, in relationships, if I had realized my purpose in being equally yoked with anybody starts with, does this person want the same things that you want? And I'm not talking about they want the same house, they want the same car. I'm talking about, does this person believe in God? Does this person want to be married? Do they want to be in a relationship? Do they want to be somebody's husband? If I had listened to someone telling me that way back then, I could have saved myself so much time in dating, but I didn't. And, you know, everything happens for a reason. And, you know, God did what he did in my life for a reason. So there's no regret. But yes, to answer your question, I have been in those situations. And, you know, maybe the information was there that I should have listened to. God is so good that even when we go off the beaten path, he knows how to bring us back and he knows how to redirect us. But yeah, there's been times where I did that and it just led to heartache and disappointment and all of those things that come with that. So my recommendation to anybody out there would be, you know, when it comes down to being equally yoked and you're thinking about it, you need to sit down and think about the purpose for your life, the purpose that God has placed on your life, and what you need in a mate in terms of, does this person even want to be a mate? Do they want to do this job that God has set out for you? You know, do they fit into that? So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. And that can be a tough one because I think we've all been there. I think.
Oh, yeah, I've definitely been there. Like I would always say when I was lukewarm, wasn't really in Christ like I should have been. You're not aware of what equally yoked really means because that's a biblical word. And so I was looking for love in all the wrong places with all the wrong people. Mm-hmm. And even, you know, staying in an abusive relationship, thinking that's really love, that's unequally yoked. Like no man that God you with will want to beat on you. And so, you know, like VJ said, if only I would have known what I know now in wisdom and knowledge of God and knowing what he expects of us to be his sons and daughters, to be in a relationship. He doesn't want us to go through hell. Do we, you know, like the Israel, are we disobedient because we want what our flesh wants and we ignore the things that God is showing us? Because let's be real, he's a God of grace and mercy. And even with my disobedience and not really knowing, and even when I started to learn what it really means to walk righteous in a relationship and what to accept and what not to accept, what to date and what not to date, my flesh still wanted the man that I was attracted to. And those men was always the same kind. It's like you're meeting a different person in the same characteristics. Yes. Like that. It's like that cycle for a while will always follow you until you know better, you know, the wisdom and knowledge of God. And so I wouldn't take it back, I would say. I probably would have been further. I probably would have been married. I'm not married yet, y'all. But okay. But I, like VJ says, I believe it happened, and not that God allowed God, not that it happened, God made it happen, but we have free will in that area because and so it happened. And I believe that he took it because of the path where I'm at now. And he's taking all the abuse and everything that I went through, that I endured, that he helped me with. And revealed to me. Even in my foolishness, he was with me. And so that's why he was able to bring me out on this side to where I can minister to women that are going through the same thing. It's just so beautiful how God can take that mess when we're blinded and not aware and turn it into something beautiful to save another soul. And that's my clothing as well. And my answer to that, those relationships that I ignored, being equally yoked, almost cost me my life, because that same abusive relationship, that man pulled out a gun and God was with me. And I'm here today to save someone else.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So that's my clothing and my answer to that. Don't be me. Though God is with you, sometimes, you know, God's plan for everyone is different. And though he saved me from where I could have been shot, it did not happen because he revealed to me that he had a greater purpose for me. But let's not play with it. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like God is not going to send us anybody who's going against us. They're going to be kind of flowing with us in, you know, terms of, you know, the things that we go through in life. Like, we're going to always be going through things with, no matter who we are with. But I can tell you now, and I've only been married a year, so probably in 5 years, my answer will look a little bit differently. But I can tell you the types of things that I go through with my husband now are so much different than the types of things that I went through in past relationships. And it was because we weren't equally yoked. And the things that we go through now, yeah, they are things that, you know, maybe, you know, I'm not always happy about, we're not always happy about, but we're still working together. We're still working together. And it's not like, well, I want this and he want that. No, we still want the same things. It's just life happens. You know, these kids happen. These jobs happen, but we're still working together. So I think, you know, and I know I said I was done, but I just would say that to anybody out there. That's one way you can kind of know if you're equally yoked with someone, is that even with the problems and the barriers, the roadblocks that you encounter, you're still like this. You're still going through them together. And it's not like, well, you're on this side and he's on that side and you're, you know, trying to figure it out separately.
Mm-hmm. Amen. James?
To answer that question, yes, I have. Definitely. Definitely. Daisy, stop your laughing. Stop laughing. Because one of them was your fault. So stop laughing.
She laughed so discreetly.
Yeah, because one of them was her fault. So I don't know why she's laughing over there.
No.
She said, you're not going to blame me for that.
Amy, because when I noticed, because we met this person same time, and it was a game we were playing, and they took it, they decided to go further with their relationship. And when I noticed, right, that she was not right and she wasn't the right person for this man, I told him, didn't I?
She did. I chose to ignore the red flags.
I said, James, I think you should run now.
Look, I chose to ignore the red flags. VJ, we will tell you off of air what happened, but I chose to ignore the red flags. But for me, I've definitely been there. Definitely have. I'll leave it at that. Definitely have. And
look, we're gonna leave it at that. That's good enough for me. That's good enough.
Yep. And I guess my closing remarks is first off, we thank VJ for being on here. Yeah. Sis, I promise you're coming back. You're coming back for a part two. So get ready for that. You're definitely coming back for a part two, because we haven't even gotten through half of these questions yet. So you're coming back for a part two. And
anytime.
Y'all definitely tune in to the podcast, which will drop at 12 midnight on the mall. Now, just because we have the Facebook page up does not mean that you don't have to listen to the podcast. As a matter of fact, we're going to keep the video on Facebook until Wednesday. After Wednesday, the video will be deleted off of Facebook. And if you want to see the video, you got to go over there to YouTube to see the video. So keep scrolling over there to the YouTube channel too. We're going to keep it on Facebook until Wednesday. After that, it'll be deleted on Facebook. And you got to go to YouTube if you want to see it. So as I always say, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments, meaning some things that we look at as bad, God is only turning it around for our good. Stay blessed, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. I'll see y'all. Peace.
Bye, guys.
And